a month ago.
Nobody had a plan, it
turns out. Even the people who were supposed to have a plan, unfortunately, apparently didn't have a plan. And...
WGXC 90.7 FM.
There is currently no vaccine or specific medication to treat COVID-19. Testing is limited in the United States. The only way to flatten the curve is through collective action. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommend that all Americans practice social distancing to slow the spread of the disease and to keep from overloading the American medical system. This means staying at home and avoiding other people as much as possible. Information is available at cdc.gov/COVID-19.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Food New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC Weekend Coronavirus Report for Sunday, April 5th, 2020. With all the coronavirus news for the Catskills and the Hudson Valley, today's report, Greene County has 27 positive cases located in Windham, Durham, Greenville, Hunter, Cairo, Catskill, Athens, Coxsackie, and Hallcott. There are also 12 cases that tested positive and have been cleared, so just 15 active positive cases. And there are 77 individuals in Greene County being self-monitored for possible exposure, with 6 cases that have been released from quarantine status. Columbia County has 61 positive cases of COVID-19 and 3 deaths. 5 of the positive cases are hospitalized. 2 of those are in ICU. Columbia County has 440 test results and 60 under mandatory quarantine and 22 under precautionary quarantine. There are also 9 residents with suspected not tested cases, and 24 Columbia County residents have recovered from COVID-19. In Dutchess County, 3,780 people have been tested, with 790 positive cases of coronavirus. As of April 4th, there are 78 Dutchess County residents in area hospitals, and 50 recovered, and 8 deaths. Ulster County reports 1,548 negative tests as of April 4th, and 318 positive cases, and 4 deaths. In Albany County, there are 278 positive cases of COVID-19 as of April 4th, with 464 people under mandatory quarantine and 82 people under precautionary quarantine. Albany County reports 2 more deaths for a total of 6. In Rensselaer County, there are 19 hospitalized as of April 4th, with over 279 in monitored quarantine and a total of 73 confirmed cases in Rensselaer County. At his daily press briefing, Governor Andrew Cuomo said New York City was not yet at the apex, but somewhere in the 4 to 8 day range from reaching the peak. Quote, "It's good that we're not at the apex because we're not yet ready," unquote. Cuomo said that Long Island has a growing share of COVID-19 patients as the virus spreads. Cuomo also said he's anticipating taking 500 unused ventilators from hospitals upstate for hospitals in need downstate, saying that's about 20% of the unused ventilators at those hospitals. The best news Cuomo had was that China was sending 1,000 ventilators, and the state of Oregon was sending another 140. Here's Governor Cuomo speaking April 4th on the ventilator issue.
I'm also signing an executive order to allow medical students who are slated to graduate to begin practicing. We need doctors, we need nurses, so we're going to expedite that. On ventilators, remember we ordered 17,000 ventilators. To give you an idea of how many 17,000 is, the federal stockpile was about 10,000 ventilators for the nation. We ordered 17,000 just for the state of New York. And when we ordered the ventilators, we were paying for the ventilators. So trust me, you know the situation, financial situation of the state. We were not looking to spend a penny that we didn't have to spend. And we placed that order for the ventilators, and we were paying for that order. That order never came through. And this goes back to the China situation. We had signed documents. We placed the order. Governor Baker talks about this in Massachusetts. But then you get a call that says we can't fill that order because you had all that demand going in. So what do? We find what equipment we have. We use it the best we can. If you ask hospitals today, what ventilators do you have that are unused and available that they don't need in the short term, and take 20% of that number of available ventilators, that's 500 ventilators. 500 ventilators is a significant number now. China is remarkably the repository for all of these orders, ventilators, PPE, it all goes back to China, which long term we have to figure out why we wound up in this situation where we don't have the manufacturing capacity in this country. I understand supply chain issues, I understand the cost of manufacturing, but there's a public health reason, as we've all learned the hard way, why we need the capacity in this country to do this. But anyway, it all comes back to China. So New York has been shopping in China. We're not really China experts here. International relations is not what we do on a daily basis. I've been to China before. When I was Sub-Secretary, I did a trade mission with China. So I have a basic understanding, but we went to the Asia Society to help us navigate China. I asked the White House to help us navigate China. I spoke to the ambassador, and we got really good news today that the Chinese government is going to facilitate a donation of 1,000 ventilators that will come into JFK today. And I want to thank Joe Tsai and Clara Tsai and Jack Ma from Alibaba and the Nets, but I'm not stating a preference, for their donation. That's going to be very helpful, and I want to thank Ambassador Wang very much for his help in making all of this happen, because this is a big deal, and it's going to make a significant difference for us. Also, the state of Oregon contacted us and is going to send 140 ventilators, which is, I tell you, just astonishing and unexpected. And I want to thank Governor Brown. I want to thank all of the people in the state of Oregon for their thoughtfulness. Again, this was unsolicited. But the 140 ventilators will make a difference. And I was thinking about it on behalf of New York and what it means for Oregon. First, it was a kind gesture. I know Governor Brown, and she is a kind person. But it's also smart from the point of view of Oregon. Why? Because we're all in the same battle here. And the battle is stopping the spread of the virus, right?
Cuomo also said it's fair to say that the 2020 legislative session is, quote, effectively over, unquote, though that seemed to upset many legislators. Assembly Speaker Carl Heastie wrote on Twitter that, quote, last week we established a system for remote voting, and we are on call to perform our constitutional duties as a co-equal branch of government. The assembly is in recess. Session is not over at the call of the speaker, unquote. The wife of New York State Senator James Seward, who has the coronavirus, posted online April 4th that he has been placed in a medically induced coma and has been on a ventilator since April 2nd. Quote, his condition had deteriorated quite rapidly and became dire, unquote, she wrote. But later on April 4th, Jeff Bishop, Seward's communications director, wrote on Twitter, quote, some very good news this evening. Senator Seward is no longer on a ventilator, unquote. Nationally, President Trump announced April 3rd that the Center for Disease Control now recommends everyone wear non-medical masks in public, although he said that he would not wear a mask. On April 4th, Trump said that he may take hydroxychloroquine himself, even though he does not have a prescription, and that stocks are running low for lupus patients who need the drug, and that Dr. Anthony Fauci says there is no definitive data about its effectiveness treating COVID-19. This has been today's WGXC Weekend Coronavirus Report. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a 30% chance of showers, mainly after 4 p.m. on Sunday, with a high near 57 and a low around 37. Monday should be sunny with a high near 58 and a low around 37. And Tuesday should be partly sunny with a high near 58 and a low around 37. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elizabeth Cortell of Woodland Hills, California. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Oh, Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I am Lena. I am a student from MC Smith, and I am also from Hudson.
So we're all in our homes right now because the WGXC studios are temporarily closed, and we're all social distancing. How is that going for you all?
It's fine.
Yeah.
Good.
What are you all doing on a day-to-day?
Schoolwork. We're in the short story unit of our creative writing class, so that is fun.
1 hour ago, I got back from a video call, and I'm like, okay, it's time to call them. And I'm like, oh, wait, the show starts at 3 in my mind. And I'm like, okay, let's still go to call them. And when I found out the show started on 3, I was like, why didn't I think of that? And then I was like, oh, that means I'll get to call my friend. And then she doesn't pick up the phone anymore.
Aw. That's tough. Yeah, we're busy at the library. We're all working from home, and we're now shifting to try to figure out how to offer some programs online or to connect with people through email or through social media to get people feeling engaged and connected and well. So we're keeping busy, but it's fun. It's fun connecting with you all. And I had a reunion through Zoom with some old Bound by Books co-hosts the other day. So I started the show with a young woman named Quinn back when she was, I think, 11. She may have been 10 or 11 back in 2011. And so now she's off in college, as are some of the other original co-hosts. And so we had a little online reunion, which was really fun.
And
Ingrid is one of the people that Amelia overlapped with. So she knew that the show was still on, but some of them didn't know that the show was still going on, and they thought that was really cool. So, yay.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but Ingrid kind of sounds like one of my sister's friends because she has a friend named Ingrid.
I think she is friends with your sister.
Yeah, she might be.
Because I think they did some programs together.
Yeah. Like
through the Creative Writing Center. Or Writing Center. I can't remember what it's called. With Miss Wheeler.
Yeah.
But everyone's doing okay, hanging out at home.
Yeah.
Was that a yeah?
I miss my friends. I mean, I miss my teachers.
Yeah. I've still been connecting with a lot of people online, and I've even seen some people from afar, like out the window. but yeah, I definitely miss seeing all my library people in particular. So both my coworkers and all the people that we see every day at the library.
Yeah.
That's rough, but it's good to see you all.
Has
anybody been reading anything good lately? No, Amelia, sounds like you're reading some short
stories. I did tell you how I read. Yeah, I read a few example short stories that were given to us from our teacher. Let me just pull them up on Google Classroom here for a second. In the meantime, Lena, what have you been reading?
I've been reading that I was forced to read. I didn't like them. But I'm going to talk about my old favorite that I don't think I talked about on the show. Mirandy and the Brother Wind that I discovered this year in school. And it's a good book. That's all I'm going to tell you.
What is it?
But Mirandy and Brother Wind. It's like, I don't get what the book is about because it's like Mirandy is trying to catch Brother Wind because they say if you catch him, then you will be able to have a wish granted by Brother Wind.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is it like a folktale?
Pretty sure because like technically it kind of is, I think. I guess, maybe. I don't know.
That's a short story? Or? Like,
well, yeah. It actually took me two nights to read because It was assigned to read on two separate nights by my teacher because she gave us four questions in total about the book. Like, it was pretty good.
That's great. So what are some of your short stories, Amelia?
The first one I read from our teacher is by a guy named, well, my teacher only calls the author Rogers. So, here's the author. It's called Little Brother, TM, by Bruce Holland Rogers. And so it goes along talking about this boy named Peter who wants a little brother, TM, and that is actually what it's called. So immediately you're like, okay, the little brother is a product. It's like a trademarked thing. So he goes on and on about how he wants one for Christmas, and he ends up getting a little brother, but he doesn't like him very much. It's a baby, so it doesn't really listen to him. It messes with all his toys and does all this stuff, and he keeps turning little brother off because he has a button on the back of his neck that you can use to turn it off. But when the brother is turned off, it can still feel and it can still see and it can still, it just can't move. So mother keeps getting really mad at Peter for turning little brother off, even though he keeps doing it. So when she catches him turning him off for like the fifth time or so, he turns little brother back on and goes to hit Peter, or he thinks she's going to hit her, but she ends up feeling around the back of his neck, and that's how the story ends. So he's implied to also be a product.
That's pretty creepy.
It was a very good story. I really liked it.
Oh my God.
And then there was one by Ray Bradbury, who is the same guy who wrote Fahrenheit 451.
I love his short stories. I've read several of them.
Where is it? Where did it go? I know she gave us one by Ray Bradbury. Here it is.
I don't know who that is.
He's the guy who wrote Fahrenheit 451, which is a book about a world where books are burned. And oh my gosh, look at me go trying to remember the actual plot of this. Because we watched the movie, and the movie was nothing like the book. Basically, this man is a firefighter, but in this dystopian society, firefighters are not what they used to be. They're the people responsible for burning books. And then one day he, I think, ends up stealing a book from a book burning, and he brings it home, and he ends up getting hunted down by this thing called the Hound, which is, I've seen fan art of it, and it looks really cool. The Hound isn't in the movie, and I was really sad about that. But it's basically this big mechanical dog that hunts down criminals. The short story he wrote was called Last Night of the World, and it was sad. Like, it's basically a husband and a wife and their children. The husband and the wife both know that the world is going to end, but they carry on their day just like normal. They don't tell their children. They don't really talk about it. They just know that the world is going to end that night, and they just kind of contemplate it as they go to sleep that night. And it's like really sad, but really kind of really beautiful writing.
Oh my God, that kind of sounds like a movie that I watched where it's like the world is going to end, and then the ending was sad and I cried about it. If you want to hear the ending, just tell me after.
What's the movie?
I can't remember what it's called, but it's probably like the same name of that, because like I watched it when I was like 5 and it was pretty sad.
I know that there's this adaptation of a Stephen King story called The Mist, where Stephen King actually said that he wished he had written the ending that they had in the movie, which I think is the highest compliment you can get from adapting a short story or a book. And I thought that was really cool. And my dad told me the ending of that movie, so I've never watched it because I already know how it ends. And it's like gut-wrenching. It's a heart-wrenching ending. The final short story that she gave us, which we were given today, is by Kurt Vonnegut, where it takes place in the world in the year 2081, where everyone is equal to the point where they handicap people who are more intelligent or more mobile or athletic. So they purposely put chips in the brains of overly intelligent people to go off every like 5 minutes or so to keep them from using their brains correctly. They handicap dancers to keep them from like dancing to the point that they can. It's wild. This one was wild. It was probably my least favorite because it was weird and confusing, but
that's the one we were trying to think of, like what would be the middle place.
Yeah, it's basically a story about how, like, any concept, no matter how good, taken to, like, an extreme, can be very, very bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, right now I am confusion because, like, while you were just explaining it, I got confused already.
It does hurt the brain a little bit trying to think of how that would work. Like, how do you find the medium, the average? Well, I'm curious if it was an average or a median or, like, how they figured that out. Like,
yeah.
What is average, like, flexibility or whatever?
Yeah.
Intelligence. Yeah. What if you're, like, really smart in one subject, but really not smart at all about another subject? So is, like, certain parts of your brain get adapted?
Yeah.
What happens if you're not, like, athletic or that smart? Like, would you just be, like, left alone by
them,
or
would you... The main character's wife is of average intelligence, so she is pretty much left alone, but he is of higher intelligence, so he ends up having a chip in his brain.
Oh, okay. So me and my friends are fine because, like, we don't understand anything because, like I said, we are confusion.
You're confusion.
Yes.
And then finally we had to pick our own short story to share with the class that we found on the internet, and then write our own short story, which I finished today. Ooh. I need to edit it tomorrow.
Are you happy with it?
I'm okay with it. It feels like something that could be interpreted many ways. I tried to go for a psychological horror, and I don't know if I pulled it off, but I hope I did.
You'll get feedback from your classmates or from your teacher?
Yeah. This is a rough draft. We turn in the final copy in a few days.
Cool. What was the one that you picked to read?
The short story that I picked off the internet.
Mm-hmm.
It was called The Man on the Stairs by Miranda July.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Was it good?
I liked it. It was all right.
I haven't read her stories, but I saw a movie that she, I think, wrote and directed and starred in. That was good.
Oh, cool.
I've always been curious about her writing. I just haven't gotten around to it. I started reading a new book. I haven't been reading as much this week because I've been really busy with work, but I read a bunch of picture books the other day, and I started reading a new book of poetry called Woke, A Young Poet's Call to Justice, which is by Mahogany L. Brown with Elizabeth Acevedo and Olivia Gatwood, and it's illustrated by Theodore Taylor III. And so it's a collection of poems by those three poets. Mahogany L. Brown is the curator in residence for the library for this year, which means she's been working with our staff to come up with programs and activities sort of centered on her work as a poet, but also celebrating other authors and poets and works of literature. And this is her latest book. It just came out in March. We actually got the copy at the library the day that we were scheduled to close for our temporary closure. But I decided to take it with me to read while we were closed. And it has beautiful illustrations in it.
Ooh.
Very colorful.
Very long. I see very long poems.
Yeah, well, it's in a picture book format. And they're somewhat long for poems, but I think they also have like a bigger typeface because it's in a picture book. So it's possible if it was written in a smaller font that it would be a little shorter looking.
Mm-hmm.
But I can read one for you if you want.
Yay!
Okay. So this one is called Gift of Grace by Mahogany L. Brown. Forgive me, the most lonely request I know. It requires the gift of grace. Like a horse looping around Central Park slow and metered, the wind can tell when the body is holding more weight than it can hold. This is how an apology begins, the bags holstered to the back across the shoulders and the neck, the heaviness of disappointment, the sadness is so lonely, alone and alone. Sometimes the wind picks up speed, sometimes the sky is still howling, sometimes you have to wait for the quiet of the rain, let the storm pass and try again. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Forgive me, a humble request, such a beautiful song. I thought that's a nice poem.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some listeners out there that know youth literature might recognize Elizabeth Acevedo's name as well. She won, I think it was the Prince Award last year. But yes, Yeah, so she won the National Book Award for Young People's Literature, the Michael L. Prince Award, the Pura Belpre Award, the Boston Globe Horan Book Award, and the Walter Dean Myers Award for Outstanding Children's Literature for her book, The Poet X, which is a really good book. So she's one of the contributors. And then Olivia Gatwood, I hadn't heard about before reading this book, but she has some poetry chapbooks out, and her work's been featured on various networks like MTV, HBO, and BBC, and appeared in publications. And they're all from different places. So Mahogany's from Brooklyn, Elizabeth's from Washington, D.C., and Olivia Gatwood is from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Theodore Taylor is from Richmond, Virginia. So those four folks collaborated on this book together. And it's lovely. Cool.
Yeah.
You know how I like poetry now and again?
Wait.
And actually, when this radio show airs, it will be April, which is National Poetry Month.
Ooh, yay.
Maybe for our next show, we should each find a poem.
Okay, I will share.
That'd
my
be cool.
Poem.
That'd be
yay. Yeah. I know the poem that I will share.
You already know what it will be?
Yes.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. But I'm probably going to have to search it up and copy it down on paper again.
Sure.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Does anyone have any free reading that they're doing, or are you all just reading stuff for school right now?
I'm finishing up The Tattoos of Auschwitz, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to go on to read an autobiography by a comedian, but I can't remember which comedian it is.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm curious if it's, so is it an autobiography that's also sort of humor writing?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. supposed to be comedic.
Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes comedians put out books that are autobiographical, but their main purpose is less about informing you about their life, but more about making you laugh.
Yeah.
Those are fun to read.
They are.
I like a good laugh. Yeah. What about you, Lena?
Yeah, sure. I spaced out for a moment and then I just heard, I want it for a comedic laugh. What about you, Lena? And I was like, oh shoot, I don't know what she's talking about.
Tell us a joke. That wasn't what I was talking about, but tell us a joke if you have one.
Okay. Well, it's kind of a joke, I guess. So there was an airplane that was going to crash, and all the flight people who are supposed to take care of the plane took all the parachutes. There are only two parachutes left. The president said, I need to run a country, and then he jumped off of the plane. That's just what I'm going to say when everyone jumps off the plane.
What?
And when people jump off of the plane, and then a father said,
there's so much lore involved with this joke.
Yeah, I guess. I don't honestly know what it is, but like, I'm just going to go with a joke. So the father said, I have lived a very long life and you have a life to live. And so the boy said, don't worry, you can go off the plane because the president took my backpack.
Oh, oh no. No.
Oh no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have any good jokes, Amelia?
Absolutely not. I don't at all.
Oh.
Yeah. I only have one.
Okay, tell us. Funny. Okay, tell me.
Just the only one that I've ever remembered is, how do you make a tissue dance?
Oh, no.
I don't know. I don't know this one.
I do.
You know it, Amelia?
Say the punchline. Just say it. Put me through the agony.
You put a little boogie in it.
Okay, anyways. And then this is how I left the chat.
That's how you left the chat. She's like, bye.
Lena EXE has stopped. Yes, I have stopped.
You've stopped.
Yes, Lena EXE.
I think you're still there. Anyways.
Oh, it's raining out.
No.
I didn't know what that sound was.
Oh, you're right. It is raining.
On that note, I guess we should say goodbye for the week.
Oh, yeah.
To our listeners out there.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, we hope everyone out there listening has a good week and reads lots of good books or short stories or poems or other
and
such
things.
And
washes their hands.
And washes their hands. Parents.
Stay healthy, everyone.
Do y'all have a favorite song for singing while you wash your hands for 20 seconds?
I just keep washing until the paranoia goes away.
Oh. I wash until my hands get wrinkly. Yeah.
That sounds painful.
Yeah, it does.
I think you might be washing too.
Okay. Hands. Okay, fine. I'll stop that. I guess I'll wash until after my 3 spurts of soap, like that I put on, because paranoia.
Yeah. Anyways.
Okay. Thanks everyone for listening, and have a good week, and happy reading.
Bye.
Bye.
Stay safe. Be well. Read books.
Sentí todo lo que yo viví, de todo lo que presenté. You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
I call it a car parade, but it's a caravan of cars circulating throughout the Catskill Central School District where our children reside. This is such a morale boost for our students, for our families, and it's very therapeutic for our staff. I mean, we haven't seen our students in 2 weeks, and that's a long time, but obviously we're dealing with a pandemic. But as I said before during last week's interview, we're going to make it through this together. We have to stick together, receive some guidance, wait for some guidance in certain situations. But our students, when it comes to extended learning, they're fine. When it comes to childcare, we're fine. When it comes to meal preparation, Mr. Muirhead and his crew, outstanding. When it comes to cleaning our schools and desanitizing, Mr. Witt and his custodial maintenance crew, We're fine. We're doing a great job, and we're just so happy to see our entire school district. Look at all the cars out here. This speaks volumes of the support for our students and our families, and Catskill Central School District is number one, baby. I'm very proud of the school district, and thank you, Mr. Hernandez, for what you do, and I'm looking forward to this parade. We're going to have a good time.
It is important for the morale of our children because they are home, they're feeling isolated, and they need to know that we're okay. And that we're here for them.
Oh, we still gotta support our students wherever, however, and wherever we can.
Five-One-Eight Rainbow was started by a group in Albany area. They're putting rainbows all over the Capital District. Any kind of rainbow anybody can make. It can be hanging on the house. It can be in the yard. It's just a way to pass the time during this critical time.
Nice. Yeah. Hey, guys, how are you?
How awesome is it that we're doing this? We can't wait to see you, and thank you to our teachers and administrators and Dr. Cook for organizing this, as well as our local agencies.
Teachers need the students to know that just because they're not in school, they still miss them every single day, and they wish they were there every day.
Miss Tedford, I miss McCormick, I miss you.
I miss my friends.
Yep, they surely do.
I'm extremely thankful for the food program, and I use it every single day, and it's just, it's a blessing. I'm so thankful to everybody who has helped out. I use it for my children. I have kindergarten and first grade plus a baby, and you've helped out tremendously. Thank you so much.
Hello, good afternoon, Catskill community. This is Mr. Bragg, your high school principal, with some words of wisdom. This week's focus is coronavirus. As a nation, America has a long history of overcoming challenges. We pull together and we do what needs to be done. We set aside our differences and look for ways to cooperate. The challenge we are facing today is coronavirus. We will get through this difficult time as we have in the past. Hopefully, we will come out on the other side smarter, stronger, and better equipped to face the next challenge. For now, we must listen to the experts and also do a few simple things. Keep our hands very clean by washing them frequently with lots of soap and warm water for at least 20 seconds. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands. Just like times before, this challenge will pass. In the meantime, let's each do our best to help each other get through it. With something to think about, this is Mr. Bragg. Make it a great day or not, the choice is yours.
So, Mr. Bragg, why is your daily message so important?
It brings hope. I feel it brings character and shows perseverance. Getting the information out to our students and our community is very important. We want to make sure that I continue to do this on a daily basis. I want to continue doing this as a weekly basis so that my students know that we're here for them 100%.
This week the school was opened for teachers and staff.
Well, first I want to start off by saying I'm so very proud of our staff and our teachers here at Catskill High School. What they're doing for our students is absolutely amazing. Where we actually put our students and our teachers in a different situation. It's unprecedented. Teachers teaching in different ways to get the material across to our students. Students have been very actively engaged through Google Classrooms, through Google Meet, and a lot of online classes that are available to them. This is totally different than we're used to. And I'm very proud of what our teachers have done. Now, this week they came in and we spread them out so that we kept make sure that the distance, the 6-foot distance, was a priority, and we made sure that the buildings were well sanitized, and we provided each of the teachers with gloves and sanitizer as well before they walked into the building. And the purpose of them coming in was to make sure that they continue the education for our students so that we can continue to make sure that our kids, even if they're not here, are college and career prepared.
Yeah, I came in. It was fine. It seemed like no one was in the building.
Yeah, it's very empty.
Wish we can come back.
And I'm looking forward to when we come back. I'm doing all my meetings with my staff, virtual meetings. So it's not the same. You know, I miss my teachers, I miss my staff, and I miss the students here at Catskill High School.
Tell us about the effort to get every student internet access and a Chromebook.
Well, I'll talk about the Chromebooks first. I have a cabinet team, and we focus on kids that we feel that need the access and don't have the access to a Chromebook or any type of computer at home. So we developed a list, and we also have parents reach out to us. So we have a compiled list that we're working with the technology department. Friday, between eight and two, those students and parents will have a signed waiver, understanding that we're loaning them the Chromebook. We want to make sure that they have access to all the online opportunities. We want equity across the board so every student has the opportunity to be successful. As for the internet access, we do know there's some students that don't have access. And again, hats off to the teachers and staff, reaching out to the students, calling them, finding out who needs the access, because otherwise we wouldn't know. And we got a list of those students, and what we're doing is, thank you to Mr. Shaw, the middle school vice principal. He's actually working with the county legislators to get grants to get out there and get internet to our students that don't have access. So we're really working as a community to make sure that we are moving and getting everybody as much access as possible to be successful.
Yeah, it's a team effort.
It is definitely a team effort, and I'm very proud to be part of this team.
I know that teachers are preparing study materials in print as well as digital as an alternative.
The alternative is everything we have is going to be on our website, and there's going to be all the work that's there now. If you click on our high school page or the district page, you'll see all of our work, and it's based on the teachers in their classes. We're going to add on to that, so you'll have access there. In addition, all your Google Classrooms will be available. And the teachers are interacting through Google Meet and Google Classrooms. So you have those opportunities there. The building is going to be closed at this moment until further notice, until we are told otherwise. That's why we're getting out these Chromebooks, and this is why we're working on getting internet access to our students, because we don't know how long this is going to last, but we want to make sure that they have access. If your child needs any of the work, we're all prepared. Our teachers are diligently getting things together. We have it all packaged up for you. So we're trying to get you everything accessible to you, but at this point, that is the means. If you can't make it here Friday, please call the office at 518-943-2300.
Have you made any decisions regarding canceling of events?
As of this point, we are going to put everything on hold. I don't want to cancel anything. I know that this Friday was supposed to be our spirit games. I'm not canceling anything at this point. If anything, I'm just putting things as a postponement until further notice. If things get canceled or closed beyond the 15th of April, then these discussions will be had. But as of right now, prom, graduation, any type of trips are postponement at this time.
I know you're very positive, and you're always very positive in school, Mr. Bragg. We really appreciate that. But what can we do right now? What do you think the students, the teachers can do to keep sort of their spirit, the school spirit up?
You know, with keeping the CDC regulations and obviously keeping washing your hands and keeping your social distancing, get outside. The weather's changing into a nice weather. Do some exercise. You know, it's always healthy for your mind to do exercise physically. Read a book. Do your work, but, you know, read something that you feel you can relate to. Get hooked on a Netflix series. You know, do something for your mind. And also, if you do find that you are having a hard time, we put tons of resources on the website to you so that there's opportunities outside of the school that if you need some assistance, whether it be mental health or physical help, we can help you. Just look at the website. We definitely are available. Or you can contact all your guidance counselors, social workers are available through email, or you can contact me directly. We are here to help you get through this. Just keep positive. You know, take walks. Be out there. Walk your dogs and enjoy yourself. You know, just remember, social distancing is key at this point. Follow the CDC regulations. This is important. We do want to stop the spread. We do not want to continue to have this go on. We want to come back to school as soon as possible. And I'm going to also give out Words of Wisdom weekly. You'll see me on a weekly basis on the website. And I know that Mr. Hernandez and I have talked. We're going to do that here as well. You'll be seeing me weekly. And if you have any questions, always email me. I'm always available for any of you.
Any final words for our students and our staff and our community moving forward?
I just want to thank you. This has been an unprecedented situation we're going through, but we've handled it so professionally from a staff perspective. You know, I had a joke. You know, we do Zoom meetings with our staff, and I just got this thing for my. For my wife, and I thought it was pretty funny. I thought I'd share this just to keep it high, you know, a little bit more positive. It says the diagram of Zoom meeting attention span, and for the actual meeting content was 2%, and the rest is like, oh, my cat or dog's walking across the room, or my neck always look like that? Or, you know, oh my goodness, why didn't I take a shower? You know, it's funny. But I give a lot of credit to my staff. I'm very proud to be your principal, and I'm very proud to be the principal of this high school. Our kids are going beyond expectations. The majority of our kids are getting their work in, working diligently, taking this seriously. And that is a sign of where we are as a school community. Our kids are that mature in understanding that the severity of this is very important, but the severity of their education is important to them as well. So I'm very proud to be your principal, and thank you for this opportunity.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Once again, welcome to another segment of Reclaiming History, airing on WOOC 105.3 FM, The Sanctuary. This is Livonia Mallory, and I'm still on my couch during the COVID virus, waiting on a call from our congressman, Congressman Tonko. He has decided to have a virtual town hall meeting. Stay tuned. Hello.
Hello, this is Congressman Paul Tonko. I'm calling to invite you to join me for a telephone town hall meeting that is happening right now about the coronavirus. Please stay on the line, and you, along with hundreds of others from across our congressional district, will be instantly connected with me and local experts. This is your opportunity to ask me and the experts questions about the coronavirus. Again, please stay on the line and you will be connected to listen in to our live telephone town hall meeting. If you cannot join the call today, feel free to call my office anytime. The number is 518-465-0700. Thanks.
Please hold while we connect you to your Access Live event. Congressman?
Hey, thank you so much, Courtney, and good evening, everyone. As your congressman, I'm most thankful for your taking the time. Are all so painfully aware the coronavirus has had a significant impact on our community, our state, and our nation. And during this national health crisis, and perhaps I should stretch that to an international health crisis, it is even more important that we remain connected to share facts and information, to ask questions, and most importantly, to provide support to one another. I know that there are many questions rolling in, and I want to be sure we get to as many of them as possible. But first, let me acknowledge that you'll hear from myself, along with several members of our Capital Region community, who are serving in various roles on the front lines of this crisis. So tonight, we're joined by Andrew Kennedy, who is President and CEO of the Center for Economic Growth, by Dr. Eliza Whalen, who is Commissioner of the Albany County Department of Health, by Mr. Angelo Calboni, President and CEO of Saratoga Hospital, and finally, by Dr. Mary Cho LaPasta, Senior Vice President of Patient Care and Organizational Excellence, and Chief Nursing Officer, also of Saratoga Hospital. So thank you, one and all, for taking the time to join with us and share valuable insight this evening. Before we begin taking questions, I would like to provide a brief update on my efforts in Washington to address the coronavirus.